Hey guys, this is Mandy of Trivially Crucial. So this is part of our Trivially Crucial backlog. We actually recorded this back in April of 2017. I know, we're terrible, but I hope you guys enjoy it now. So on to the show. Thanks.
Welcome to Trivially Crucial, where we believe every bumbling, unconvincing genius, nonsensical piece of science, high school sweetheart, and continuity error is important and critical to our lives, no matter how unimportant a story may seem. I'm Michael.
And I'm Mandy.
And today we're talking about those best two Superman films ever, Superman 3 and 4. I mean, I just can't even pretend. Like, no, that is complete sarcasm. These movies are terrible.
I will say that they were better than I thought they'd be, in the sense that I feel like they're just really long Saturday morning cartoon episodes from the 70s.
That is actually, so I have a note on that. I was like, there are multiple times where I'm like, this feels like a Saturday morning cartoon.
I just feel like for these, the audience changed to children, whereas before it was general. But unlike modern movies where we've recognized that we can make children's movies that are like good.
Yes.
These went the other way.
So I do want to throw out that I really like these because of how bad they are. Like, there's nothing about these that I like except for how bad they are. But they're just so entertaining when I realize just how weirdly off the rails they are from anything that even kind of resembles making sense or being a reasonable Superman movie. And so I guess because basically all those expectations were shot at that point, I just had a really fun time laughing at them the whole time.
So I'm honestly not sure I had ever seen these movies before. Like, I spent the whole movies being like, what is the plot of this movie? What is the purpose of this movie? I have no recollection of this movie. And in fact, it was like 10 minutes into Superman 3 that I was like, wait, is this the Office Space movie? Like, you know, like, my only knowledge of Superman 3 is from the movie Office Space. So, yeah.
Yep, that's the one. So, in fact, for me, I definitely didn't remember the plots at all. I think I've seen each of them at least in part before, because I very clearly remember particular scenes, but nothing else. So, like, I remembered that Red K that isn't Red K Superman develops 5 o'clock shadow that's, like, permanent on his face. And I remembered Nuclear Man's weird metal fingernails. I don't... But we'll get to them. Yeah, I guess we can take these movie at a time. Just if you're listening to this, if you really want to watch these movies before you listen to us, that's great. But like, you're not missing anything if you just let us spoil the movie and talk about it, because I assume we're just gonna have a lot of funny conversation, because there's so much to tear up in these.
Yeah, and if for some inexplicable reason you really love these movies and don't want to hear people tear them up, maybe you should just stop listening now.
Well, wait, hey, it's okay to love them. I mean, there are plenty of people who love bad movies, but like, if you think they're good and don't want them to be torn up,
yes,
that's a different thing. Because I mean, I have developed some affection for these movies. I don't know if I'll re-watch them. I see so many bits
of things in these movies that I'm like, where were they going with this?
I have no idea. So many parts of this. I was telling you before we started recording, I did no research about the like on these movies. I just didn't feel like it. And I have pages of notes. Hopefully, we probably won't get to all of my notes, but there were so many things that I just had to write a comment down for, because I could not comment on them. So let's get started with Superman 3.
The first thing I want to comment on Superman 3, because he gets second billing, is Richard Pryor. And the only reason I want to comment on it is because I have no idea who this man is. And it's so obviously stunt casting. Like, apparently, according to my husband, he's like a famous comedian. But once again, I had no idea who this person was. And the fact that he got second billing, I was like, so clearly he's an important character in this movie. And I literally have no idea. Like, I have no affection for this actor. And so I guess my comment is, like, I feel like stunt casting with big names of the time, when looking back, not always the best role. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. I think he did a fine job, but I came with nothing towards this person, you know? Whereas I feel like they were expecting people to come with knowledge of who this actor is.
Which back then they probably did.
Right. And so I feel like we still do a lot of that in Hollywood, right? Like,
right.
We cast people because this person is familiar to people. But it's like, in 50 years, will anyone even know who this is?
Right.
So I guess that's my first comment on the casting, is I think Richard Pryor did a fine job.
He did as fine a job as a person could do with the role he was given.
But this is literally my only exposure to Richard Pryor. So,
I mean, he is the star of the movie, so we can... So where he is, he's at the unemployment office, right, to pick up his check, and he's rejected for it. And there's a point where they talk about he's not even there yet, but they talk about, like, he was fired after one day and is at one job, and then 28 minutes at his most recent job. So clearly he cannot hold a job, and they're making it a point, right?
Well, so I guess that my comment on is, because it's stunt casting, where we're supposed to come in with, like, affection for this actor because we know this actor, there's so many moments of this movie that hinge that we, like Superman, are going to agree that this guy is not a villain in the end.
Right.
And I disagree with that.
Oh, I do too.
I'm like, sure. Why does he get a pass at the end of the movie? And nothing in this movie sets him up other than, yes, he is, I would say, a little bit duped and used, but he knew what he was doing. That is my criticism of this stunt casting, is that because it's an actor people theoretically were familiar with and had affection with, in the end, the movie had to forgive him when, and this is jumping the gun, sure, but it's Superman 3. There's no spoilers here. But I got to the end of the movie and I was like, he should be in jail.
Yep. Yeah, he should. Yes. Also, like, everything about him is completely unconvincing, right? So at the beginning, he's like, you know, he's looking for a job and it says, like, earn big money, become a computer programmer. That's a quote. And it's like, okay. So he's like never thought of programming before. And somehow, very quickly, he becomes some kind of super genius.
And he, like, literally says he has no idea what he's doing. Like,
right.
And it's they're like, how did you do that? And he's like, I don't know.
And it's like, just like complete, like, you know, the idea is that he's some kind of savant. But it's like, no matter how good you are, none of this works. So, it does go into, if you don't need to watch this movie, but you should probably watch kind of the beginning, because we have the... like, the early cleavage-triggered Rube Goldberg disaster, that's a metaphor for how the entire movie came to be, or at least must be, because, like, it's
the whole opening makes humans look like idiots.
Yes.
Like, no wonder we need Superman. We're like toddlers without a babysitter.
Yeah. I mean, that's true in Superman 4 as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also, so much of this movie is awkward, right? Because, like, you have that opening, like, Rube Goldberg thing set off by, like, a girl with cleavage. And it just, like, keeps going and going and going. And then there's this guy who Superman saves. And he would, like, if Superman wasn't there, this guy would have died in the most awkward death scenario ever. Because his car ran into a fire hydrant. And the fire hydrant is about to drown him in his car on the side of the road.
And no one
could get nobody him out open of his what?
No one can get him out of the car. Like, yeah, no, like, one breaks the windows. No one opens the door.
It would not be that difficult to crack the door, open a door or crack a window or something. Like, this is
I think they were going for like how when your car's underwater, you can't always open the door. But this is the exact opposite scenario. Yeah. You have a higher pressure in the car than outside of the car. The door will open outwards. This is not a problem.
This is the first in many, many, many ways that the physics in these movies just make zero sense at all. You know, I liked the little touch they had in this whole goofy scenario where when Superman needs to change for it, he goes into a photo booth and it takes pictures of him changing. And he, like, snags the photo booth thing and, like, rips off the pictures that aren't just Superman before handing them to the kid. Like, that was a nice little fun touch that is probably a better fit in a comedy show about Superman rather than, like, an actual Superman film, movie. But
I think it would have been fine in the Superman movie if the rest of it had been somewhat serious, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the phone booths were knocked over, so of course he had to use the photo booth. But once again, that kid saw Clark go in and Superman come out, so...
There are so many times Clark just jumps into somebody's car and changes and goes off. He's like, how do you know that there weren't, like, people just looking at the car when you did that?
It exactly happens when they're at that fire scene, right, with Jimmy.
Yes.
And he goes in the cop car, changes, comes out, and there's literally a cop who sees the whole thing and is just, like, eating something, and it's just like, what? And I'm just like,
That so said, though, think about the privilege of being Superman where you could just, like, or I don't know if it's just Superman or, you know, this is clearly not a commentary on white men or anything. This is not the era where they would be commenting on that. But he could just like walk up to a cop car and go in. And then while I was like, none of us can
also
just walk up to a cop car.
Don't the back doors of cop cars not open from the inside? So I don't even know how you did that.
Yeah, but he clearly just broke the mechanism on his way out. Superman is very destructive.
Yeah, I guess my whole thing in these movies, and I feel like it's a symptom that we saw in Superman 1 that's being expounded on here, is that in order for our characters to look smart, they make everyone else look like idiots.
Right.
Because they don't know how to make our characters seem not stupid unless everyone else is even more stupid. And this opening sequence is just like the epitome of like people are so stupid because they get distracted by this girl. And I want to talk about this girl for a moment. And once again, this is jumping around because this is a girl, I don't know her name, but she's associated with the bad guy and she's throughout the whole movie. But there's this whole like plot thread that goes
nowhere. That's never paid off.
That she's actually really smart and she's playing dumb the whole movie, but it goes nowhere. Like I thought in the end she was going to be the true villain and it goes nowhere.
Yeah. Or like in the end she'd be like, you know, hey, I was just trying to get in his good graces so that I could like stop him at an opportune time or blow his cover for some crime he's committing or something. Or she leaves, but like that's about it, right?
Right.
Nothing happens with it. It's so weird. Like there's so many things where you could see something they could have done and they just didn't do it. It's very, very
yeah,
odd.
There were a couple moments at the end where I thought she was going to be the one who stops the bad guy because you could tell she's more on Superman's side towards the end. Like, but she does nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what were they going for? I have no idea. But she's this beautiful woman who reads like these existential philosophy books. Existential is not the right word. They weren't actually existential, but whatever. When they're not there and has like really smart thoughts and can control the supercomputer, but they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she like, but hides her intelligence the whole time. It's a weird, 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 weird thing. So there's the whole thing. Also, again, just going back, we're jumping all over the place because characters are inconsistent. Like, how did Gus get his programming job? Like, what qualifications did he have?
There were no qualifications. I think the programming thing was, like, come learn to program, and they were teaching people to program. Because that's okay. That opening scene, is they're teaching people to, not opening, but, like,
right.
He's there with the computer, is they're being taught how to program, but he does something, and the teacher's like, how did you do that? And he's like, I have no idea.
But it's like, so he's learning to do it, and yet somehow his computer is hooked up to a banking system so that when he finds out about fractional cents, he can start, like, doing his thing.
Well, I think after the training, he becomes a full employee.
Oh, okay. So what's the timeline on this?
I have no idea. There's no timeline. Yeah, so he does this whole office space banking scheme, right, where he, like, embezzles, like, a half a cent. Yeah. And then it's the villains are like talking because they know someone's embezzled all this money. And they're like, well, we'll never find him. If he's smart, you know, he'll just lay low and we'll never be able to track it down, as if they have no way of tracking down who they wrote a check of $75,000 to.
Right.
I don't understand. Then he comes in this car, which is just supposed to underscore that he's like not very smart. Right. Like because he just blew all of his money on this super fancy car. And they're like, well, obviously it's this guy. And I just don't understand.
I don't think there's anything to understand there. Part of it is he's a comedian, right? So he has to be the butt of these jokes. But, like, it doesn't land as an actual joke. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I think it's especially weird because, like, he's, like, the only black guy in this movie.
Yeah.
And he's, like, super smart, but also an idiot. And I don't know. It just comes off weird to me, and I don't like it.
There's a long history of, and I'm not saying that this is that, but it feels a lot like it. There's a long history of how black Americans are portrayed in media, where it's right. Like, hey, they're super competent at this one thing, but otherwise, you know, so like treated as sort of like partial people or like they're only valuable for this one talent that they've got rather than as whole people.
Right.
So I don't know. It gives me a little bit of that vibe and it is uncomfortable. Maybe it would feel a bit different if we knew him as a comedian and this was just like similar to his shtick, well, but I don't know.
Yeah, and once again, so we have no idea of him as a comedian, but it's almost like this character is treated like a child, which is once again why I feel like Superman lets him go in the end. Kind of like how in Superman 4 he lets Lenny go, right? Because Lenny is a child.
Isn't a child, yeah. I have issues about that too, though, but we'll get there.
Right, but it's just like... you're not holding him responsible for his actions. It's just the whole thing, right? Because I have no context for this actor, right? Neither of us know this guy's comedy at all. So once again, maybe this is his shtick. I have no idea, but it just, the whole thing just comes across as very strange. Like this character is very clearly being used by the white characters, but he's also not trying to stop the white characters until the very end, right? Until it goes too far. Which the go too far moment is attacking Superman as opposed to, I don't know, making a hurricane over tropical islands.
That's going to kill lots of people. Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, dude's a criminal. He should be in jail for sure for a long time. And it's just like, okay, maybe he's not as bad a person, but that doesn't mean he's not a criminal, right? And it doesn't mean he's not, like, didn't do plenty of bad things that he should be penalized for, right? So
it's like, yeah, maybe he doesn't need to go to jail as long as the main bad guy, but he still needs to
go to jail
or do something, community service. I don't
he
know
wasn't being blackmailed into it. He wasn't forced against his will. Like, there's not really an out here,
right?
You know,
I feel like at the beginning they kind of were blackmailing him because they were like, well, we know you embezzle all this money, so we can send you to jail, right? So at the beginning he is blackmailed into it. But then at a certain point it just seems like he's just going along to go along because he realizes they can't really blackmail him, right? And so it's just like, ah.
Right.
I don't know.
There are a few other, like, situations sort of like the photo booth that I did like, though. So there's a point where completely by coincidence, Superman's bus to Smallville because he wants to do this weird story about, you know, how people grew up in small town America. But, like, their bus happens to go by a chemical plant fire, right? And so Clark changes, as you mentioned, in the police car, and he just, like, reaches up and he's like, how can I help? And the fireman who doesn't see him is like, get this man a helmet. Oh, it's you. Forget the helmet. Like, I really loved that. I just, like, laughed out loud at that. So then Superman goes inside the building and kind of asks a scientist for the update, and the scientist explains the weird nonsensical acid thing that he's got going, that's, like, completely fine until it rises above a certain temperature, but for some reason hasn't risen about this temperature with this giant inferno, which is very different from how what happens later on in the movie.
Yep.
But, like, Superman's having this, and I made a note that's like, I feel like this scientist is the best actor in the whole movie. Like if you go back and rewatch that scene, his delivery is great. It's like, this is actually how I feel like someone trying to explain the situation would come across in this situation. It's like, hey, here's the deal. I'm feeling a little bit nervous, but I can't leave it. Here, let me explain the important bits to you. Like, kudos to scientist dude, who I don't know. And then Jimmy Olsen nearly dies, right?
Because Jimmy's so stupid.
Jimmy's stupid, and I blame the chief for it, too. So
I also don't understand why. I know he's from Smallville, but he's not, according to this movie, which I'm not sure is real. But why is he going back for Clark's anniversary, 10-year, whatever, 15-year, 20-year, who knows how many years it's been,
because Clark needs a photographer for this really interesting world-changing story about how people have changed before their high school anniversary or high school reunion.
Right. I can't believe Perry buys that story. Like, he's like, I'm just paying for these guys' vacation.
There are many things about the newspaper industry that don't make a lot of sense in these movies.
So before we actually get to Smallville, though, they just write Lois out of this whole movie.
Yes, they do.
And I'm very disturbed by it. She just disappears for the whole movie. She's in, like, the first 5 minutes and maybe the last minute. And she's, like, in Fiji? And it's like Clark forgets he's in love with her.
Yeah, it's almost like he's doing that weird thing that people can sometimes do when, like, a relationship they wanted doesn't work out, and then they just distance themselves from a person. Except that there's no context for that, right?
Right.
And it... So, and she goes to Fiji, which is not where, like, I thought that they were maybe going to the thing where, when the hurricane stuff was coming up, that she, like, oh, she'll be in an area that's affected by the hurricane, and he saves her there. But no, they didn't do that. Instead, we just got two random people who were angry at Perry White for it. It was like, I don't think that's the responsibility of the newspaper if they give you a free trip and it happens to be hit by a hurricane. Like, that's really not on the paper, is it?
No. No, pretty sure it's not.
Yeah, very weird.
And so they write her out so they can have this whole romance with Lana Lang.
Which, by the way, so probably my single favorite thing about this entire movie has nothing to do with her acting or anything like that, because, I don't know, she was kind of weird. But that's Annette O'Toole, who was Martha Kent in Smallville. And I love that. So oh. I didn't know that she was in this, and then I saw it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Clark's mom. Except not. This is really weird. But yes. So I had not realized she was previously Lana Lang when I watched 10 seasons of that show. I don't know. There's a whole lot of weird stuff going on here, though.
I feel like there's a whole lot of weird stuff with Lana and Smallville. Like, so she has a son.
Right. She's divorced.
There's this other guy who just keeps hitting on her. And she just... I don't know. That's her whole life? Like,
We don't know anything else about her.
Does she have a job? Like, she takes care of her son. She gets hit on. That's, like, all I know about her. And she needs Clark to come protect her from guy who's hitting on her, which I'll give you, guy who's hitting on her seems, you know, he's a jerk. And Lana's not a very large woman, and it can be hard to stand up to guys like that. But surely she has other friends in Smallville.
I mean, maybe if... Maybe she doesn't. Like, maybe that's part of the... Of course, we're filling this in already, and we should... She spent more than enough time in this movie that we should know. But yeah. No, you're right. There's just not really much there.
We don't even know. Why does Clark even like her? Like, what is it about Lana? Like, she's pretty. She's small town.
Well, she, I mean, but he's small town, too. Right?
I know, so, but, like... But there's no... Like, what is she interested in? Like, what does she do? Like, what... What do they talk about when they're together?
Right. They kind of went with the whole thing where just the fact that he liked her when they were in high school is somehow supposed to carry over.
Right.
Right. But we don't even know why he liked her then.
Probably 15 years. Right. And it's just like, we know why he likes Lois. She's awesome. She is crazy and throws herself into dangerous situations. And he likes that about her. Right. Lana's like as opposite of Lois as you can get.
Right.
And it's just like, other than it's kind of like this going home thing in which he never visits Ma Kent. Is she dead? I have no idea. I'm still concerned that Superman abandoned his mother in Superman 1. Yeah, I'm just like, I don't buy this.
I mean, presumably she's dead because Superman 4 doesn't seem to touch that either. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just...
I don't buy it either. You're right.
And then it was confusing, because is he romancing Lana? Like, there were moments where it was going back and forth on that issue, I feel like. I mean, he gives her a diamond ring in the end. Does she think Superman proposed? Like, I have no idea. I literally don't know.
I don't know. Like, that is a super weird, like... It's not like they have enough of a friendship where he could give her jewelry and it not be, like... a thing, right? Like, that's a... You could potentially have a friend with some who you've been friends for long enough a time, they know you, they're trying to help you out, they help you get something to replace what you lost, and it's not a romantic thing. But, like, they don't have that, right? So, it's a super weird...
And the way Lana tells Lois, like, Lois sees the ring, and Lana's like, oh, Clark gave it to me. I'm like, does Lana think they're engaged? I honestly don't know. I have no idea. And Superman 4 goes nowhere with this.
No, it doesn't.
So it's just like, are Lana and Clark engaged? Does Lana think Clark is engaged to her, but Clark doesn't think Lana's engaged to him? Like, is Clark intending to pursue a relationship with Lana? I literally have no idea. There is no resolution. I have no idea what this whole movie was about.
So there you go. Listeners, that is basically how we're going to get to every single thing in this movie is going to come to basically the same conclusion where it doesn't make any sense. We don't know why they did it. We don't know where it went, or it didn't go anywhere. That's the movie. But let's talk about all the different examples of this.
The supercomputer.
Yes. The supercomputer. So the evil banker guy is evil, right? And he sends Gus to Smallville.
I have to say, can I just appreciate that all of our bad guys just have a serious sense of aesthetic in all Superman movies? Like, I appreciate Superman villains' commitment to aesthetic and just, like, their homes and their buildings and the architecture of, like, why do you have this random fountain in your living room? I don't know, but let's go with it. Beautiful.
Yeah.
A-plus villains for your home decor. I appreciate it. Sufficiently
balanced. I do too. I really do too. So there's the supercomputer thing. Gus is sent to Smallville to hack oil tankers, right?
Yeah, apparently. Well, apparently there's like a computer in Smallville that's like the only place you can do like a couple of hacking things from because they have to do it.
Because it happens to be connected to all the right networks. But it's like, this is not how networks work. I don't know. I have issues. But, you know, that's fine. Is this still the 70s or is it the early 80s?
This is the 80s.
Okay.
That's probably the thing about this movie is when you're like, oh, this movie came out in 1983. There's no reason for it to be this bad.
Yeah, it's true. Like, if you had this exact movie, it's sort of similar to the 60s Batman stuff, except that the 60s Batman stuff, if it was done in the 80s, would be different from what it was, right?
Right.
So,
I mean, Superman 4 came out 2 years before Batman.
Oh my gosh,
let
really?
Let that sink in. Superman 4 came out in 1987, and Batman came out in 1989. Just look at, like, the Superman movies are right. They feel like they were made late 60s, early 70s. And not even like, I mean, Superman 2 is completely different. Like, I don't know why that is. Superman 1 and 2, like, feel like a late 70s movie. And these feel like a step back.
I mean, and from what I understand, like, I didn't, what's his name? Superman, the actor.
Christopher Reeve.
I think he may have directed these movies.
No.
Superman
3 was directed by, according to Wikipedia, Richard Lester.
Oh, okay.
And Superman 4 was directed by Sidney J. Fury.
Okay, never mind then. So, but anyways, these were, I don't know, they were like low budget. I mean, they were essentially cash-ins, right? I don't know that these were the first superhero movie cash grabs, but they were definitely among them. Because there was not really, it doesn't feel like there was any effort to make a good movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like I have better feelings overall about Superman 4 than I do about Superman 3. And it's just Superman 3, I'm just like, it even has some over-the-top, like, James Bond things where they, like, float down the Grand Canyon on hot air balloons.
Yeah, hot air balloons with little propellers on the back.
Yeah.
And, of course, Gus stays on, like, a donkey because, you know, whatever issues. I don't know, whatever. Gus has to make up an excuse to get into the office, right? But doesn't the evil guy, like, own these businesses? Wasn't that the thing?
Well, one of them is like a military thing, though, right? Isn't it?
Not the one that he goes up to in Smallville.
I have no idea. It's very confusing. I think they just wanted to do it from a different computer so it wouldn't come back to the bad guy.
Yeah, like, but I feel like rich bad guy could have like pulled strings to get Gus hired at the location or like as a janitor, you know?
Yeah, instead he comes as like a traveling alcohol salesman.
Right, and then like, that guy's the worst guard ever. Like he gets this guard who's just the worst guard ever, who just like his face lights up when Gus opens a suitcase of alcohol. But it's like also Gus spends a ton of time hanging out. Like you don't spend that much time with a person if you're going to be hacking a system. Because like, well, he's going to have your face memorized.
You
like,
also
he wasn't drunk
don't
the entire
like,
time.
Drink the alcohol too. Like,
right.
Gus is a little drunk at the end of that. And I'm like, no, you pretend to drink the alcohol so you can still do your thing. Like,
yeah, he was like banking on the fact that he had a higher tolerance than the other guy, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird.
And for this whole scheme to make oil rare so they can make money on their oil.
Yeah, well, but before that, like, Gus makes a bunch of mistakes. So, like, ATMs explode and stuff like that. And there's this scene that really upset me where a guy gets a Bloomingdale's bill. Which, bills don't come in that fast, but it's, like, in this scene that he gets this Bloomingdale's bill for $176,000, and he just, like, hits his wife with some kind of fruit, and it's played as, like, for comic relief. It's like, what, no? And then you have streetlights change, and it's a stereotypical, like, oh, they're all green, we don't know what to do, except that at the intersection they show, everyone was stopped, and then suddenly everyone started to go and hit each other. It's like, guys, if everyone was stopped in all directions, and then suddenly all the lights went green. Most people would like hit the gas and then just like, oh, right. Look, this is weird. Everybody else is going. I guess we're
and
just going to go
stop.
four feet. Like, yeah, most people wouldn't make it to the center of the intersection. Like, that's not how this. It's so weird. Like you said before, Saturday morning cartoon, like so many of these things are just cartoon scenes that don't fit in a live action Superman movie, you know?
We haven't even gotten to the video game scene in the end yet.
Oh, no, we haven't. Oh, goodness, the video game scene. There's also a weird part where like a narrator takes over and I'm not sure why. I don't remember exactly when that was, but I have a note and I remember being weirded out that suddenly there's a narrator, but it was only for like one scene. And it didn't come across as it being something that one of the characters was saying. It was very, very weird. And then Gus has to he has to come up with the kryptonite equation, right?
Right. And somehow, so there's like a chemical they don't know in kryptonite. So I guess they just guess. And so
he guesses.
Right. Yeah. They make some fake kryptonite and then they put on this whole like, well, they don't put on the whole event. Lana convinces Clark to invite Superman to her son's birthday, and then the town puts on this whole event, and then Gus just takes advantage of it to show up and pretend he's in the military to give Superman some sort of award, but the award is the kryptonite, and Clark's just like, okay, whatever, and then somehow this kryptonite is red kryptonite without being red kryptonite.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. The red kryptonite is never satisfying anyways, so I don't really care that it's not the right color.
I hate red kryptonite, though. I don't care about the color, I just hate this whole plot.
Right, and it's the whole thing where, because Superman is hard to do well, and what people do, they do many things to try and get out of it. One is overuse kryptonite. Another is, well, we're going to turn Superman bad.
But I don't even feel like it turns Superman weirdly bad. Like, yes, he's horrible to Lana, and then he straightens the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Like, that's just petty.
Is it even petty?
Is it even bad? I don't know. Like
I think it's just, that's more chaotic than anything. That's like, it's just like, oh, I'm going to do random things. It's like if you ever, you know, you watch a cartoon and they have somebody who's mischievous but not bad, who just likes to, like, mess with people.
Right. Like, it's like original comic book Loki when he, like, turns a city to ice cream.
A prankster. Right, exactly. Right. It's weird. It's like, wait, so is he sometimes a prankster but then kind of a drunk? Also, does alcohol work on Superman? I don't know. This is very, all kinds of things. I don't understand.
And he blows out the Olympic flame. Like, I don't even know. That's not even bad. I mean, it's not nice, but I wouldn't call it evil.
But like the whole reason they did this thing was they wanted Superman out of the way because he got in the way of their oil thing, right? Because he stopped the hurricane, I guess, or something. And so they start doing this. So now they're getting started on their oil tanker thing. And then just like, all of the oil tankers show up in the same place in the ocean.
Except for one.
But it's like, I don't think this is how any of this works, you guys. Like, someone would notice that these oil tankers are off course and get a different message to them that's not via text, right?
Right.
Like, they would get a message to them via radio, and they'd be like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, well, we got these things. It's like, well, we don't know where that came from because that wasn't from us. It's like, just return to your previous course. Like, this is not a plan that would work. And then we get to Evil Dude's, like, lair, and he has this amazing oil tanker and oil pump tracking map that, like, can't track anything else. It's clearly this is what it's targeted for. It's like, wait, so who made this for him on such a short time scale? Right? Like,
Lex Luthor.
Yeah, Lex Luthor is in prison, as we find out in Superman 4.
Well, and then smart but pretending to be dumb woman sleeps with Superman so that he'll...
So that she can use her wiles to convince him to do something for them, I guess? Was that it?
Convince the one tanker that's ignoring the directions sent via text move them.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. It's basically like, I have in my notes, and how would a single girl in a red dress get weirdo Superman to agree to take down an oil tanker? Like,
how, like, is that even in Superman's interest?
Right. Like, what does he care?
He's just doing things. If bad Superman's just doing things that serve his self-interest of chaos, how does this help him? Like, what?
Yeah. Like, if bad Superman wants to have sex with this woman, he would have had sex with her and then just been like, oh yeah, and you can forget about the tanker anyways. Like, I don't understand.
Why would bad Superman hold himself to a deal?
Right. This also, by the way, we see the Statue of Liberty in Metropolis. So now we have both Superman and Batman films that we've watched with the Statue of Liberty in their respective cities. So they're both New York City.
Mini Statues of Liberty.
I mean, there really are, but yeah. But.
So I think the most confusing part of this whole storyline, though, is how it's resolved. The Superman fights himself.
Yeah. He like physically splits in two.
Okay. He physically splits in two. So this is not in his mind. Maybe.
I feel like it can't be, because how would he have been pushed into that giant machine that he got broken out of?
And like, it makes it seem like he split into a super self and a Clark self, but that's not what happens. Clark has superpowers, but somehow bad Superman is stronger than Clark Superman.
Right. Like, the idea should be, The way that this is done, when it's done well in other context, well, well-ish, decently in other contexts, you know, in other stories, would be like, hey, this person does sometimes have an edge to themselves, but they kind of keep it in check. And so now we're going to split the two aspects of his personality. But it's like, no, Superman is always good and Clark's always good in this version, right? Like, there is no bad to him.
I mean, so, I guess you could say the kryptonite only corrupted the Superman version and not the Clark version. But once again, it's confusing because at first in this fight scene, it makes it seem like it's a superpowered person against Clark Kent, right, who's non-superpowered. But then it becomes evident that no, Clark Kent has super strength too, or else he would be dead. And then Clark Kent starts like actually like, you know, fighting. But it,
right,
it's very confusing. And then somehow the other Superman just disappears in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he kills the other part, because that's the thing, is it doesn't seem like it's actually an aspect of him, right? It's like this weird spin-off part of him that was ruling it, and so maybe this is, you know, as the real Superman asserted itself, but it doesn't make sense that it was split into two, so it's like, oh, this kryptonite created a new biological being, basically, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's very, very weird. He splits into, and there's also a line that says, you always wanted to fly, Kent, now's your chance. And that's the,
which, like, makes it seem like Kent doesn't have powers.
Which is not true, right?
Clark Kent's always been able to fly.
And also, like, none of the things in this, and this is more of a sense of scale thing, but nothing that happens in this fight looks like it should hurt Superman, like, in either direction. I mean, it just feels like all of the stuff that's being done is so small scale compared to the fights we've already seen him have in the previous movies, so it's like, I don't know. We've jumped around a lot, but then I guess we could just go ahead and start talking about the rocket firing interface, because of the supercomputer, like, they created this crazy supercomputer somewhere in the desert that, like, I don't know how quickly they made it. We do see some construction scenes with guys putting things together, and our evil group at the bottom of the, is it like bottom of the Grand Canyon? Is that the impression you got?
It seems to be the Grand Canyon is the impression I got.
Okay, so it's there that they have this, you know, supercomputer set to hack everything? Or is that just what they've been controlling the oil tankers with?
You know, this supercomputer is really confusing. It's not connected to any network that I know of.
Yeah.
They don't use it to hack anything. They use it to protect itself.
Gus designed this computer.
On napkins.
He went from not having ever programmed before to becoming a well beyond PhD level expert on supercomputer architecture, right? Like, when did this happen?
The supercomputer that almost kills Superman, Gus is single-handedly responsible for it, but somehow he is forgiven of all of his crimes.
Yeah, and just like let to walk off instead of like, hey, you are now required to, you know, this is the 70s, so this would have fit in terms of like moral, you know, context. It'd be like, you're now required to make a supercomputer for the American government so that they can defend us against, you know, whatever. Like, that would have made more sense given cultural context of the time and stuff like that. But, you know, and it'd be a way of like, hey, you get a decent salary, but you're also serving the public good and to make up for what you did before with this expertise that you apparently have because you're a prodigy who just like a late stage, you know, a prodigy who came into it late or something. But it's just so weird. Yeah, and of course, you know, then there's this super smart computer that can automatically defend itself against whatever, right? Because that was part of the thing of his design, is that if anybody attacked it, it would automatically figure it out and solve the defenses, and that somehow also translates to physical attacks.
Yes.
But Superman arrives, and he goes through this, like, weird thing, and he gets rockets fired at him, and it's just a terrible-looking video game.
It is. It's a video game interface that literally makes no sense.
Someone literally programmed in point values that display on the screen, mm-hmm, and a game over screen for if all the rockets are broken. Right? Like, what? This makes no sense at all. Then it throws out an invisible shield at Superman that's somehow supposed to suffocate him, except that we already know he can fly in space. So I don't know how that works.
And it looks really bad. Like, the plastic wrap around him just looks bad. So I don't understand why he's getting suffocated. That doesn't make sense. Superman clearly doesn't need air. And then it creates kryptonite.
Yeah.
Makes a kryptonite ray.
Yes, a kryptonite ray. Which, that actually kind of makes sense, because it's not the kryptonite itself, it's the radiation. So it's like, okay, if you can somehow duplicate the, you know, the radiation that's coming off of kryptonite, fine. I can accept that much more easily than most of the stuff in this.
I just don't know how by scanning Superman it could understand whatever.
I don't know. This is not the only time in these movies that somebody's just like, analyze Superman's genetic structure. Or like, somehow an analysis of genetic structure happens right away. I don't get it. And like you said, how does that develop into knowing exactly how to make a kryptonite ray?
How does that develop into knowing how to make this unknown element? Like,
right. Then there's a whole thing where Gus finally has his change of consciousness, or change of conscience, rather. And he, like, goes down to... He wanders off, clearly in disagreement of all this, like, clearly to turn off the machine, right? Like, super obvious. And the rich dude, whose name I'm never going to remember, goes, quote, "Never mind him." And then a few, like, moments later, when the machine shuts down, they're wondering what happened. It's like, wait, what? You had the guy who created this machine with you, who wanted you to stop attacking Superman, who then walked off, and you noticed that, and you said, "Never mind him," and now you're wondering why the machine stopped. Like, this is makes no sense. Like you said, people are just basically stupid in this, yep. Which is hilarious. But and then the machine goes alive after having been shut down because it's defending itself from this attack, and it starts feeding itself from the power grid, and, like, shuts down cities, you know, city stuff, like city power. But, like, okay, well, if it does that, where was it getting the power in the first place? I don't understand. And how is it taking power from Metropolis? Because, like, is Metropolis New York City and also right next to the Grand Canyon, or what, you know?
Well, America is actually very small. yeah, I don't know.
I feel like there are other major cities to drain of power first. Like, that would go out. And then the rich guy's sister, who we haven't mentioned because she's really not important, gets turned into a machine.
The only thing I don't like about the rich guy's sister is they're constantly harping on her for being ugly and hideous and, like, look like old enough to be his mother, and none of those things are true. And that really bothered me the whole movie. Like, it's Lois Lane at the beginning who has, like, her and Jimmy have the pictures of these people because for whatever other reason they want to investigate them. Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, why is this picture blurry of the sister?" And they're like, "No, she just looks that way." And then there's another time where I think it's when Gus meets her and he's like, "Oh, are you the bad guy's mom?" And she's like, "No, I'm his sister." And I'm like, why would anyone say that? Like, she does not look old enough to be his mom. If anything, the bad guy looks older than her. And she's just not hideous to look at. So I really don't understand. Like, she's not, like, stunningly gorgeous. And she's not, like, she's not on the same level, I guess, as beautiful as the girl who is supposed to be shockingly beautiful. Right. But I wouldn't say she's even close to hideously ugly. So right. I was just very confused.
A person.
Yeah, she's just a normal looking person. So that really bothered me. Like, all of that very gendered beauty discussion against this woman who, yes, she's bad, but why does what she look like even matter in the context of this discussion?
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I guess maybe some of it's I don't know. The other girl, women are very weird in this movie. Weirdly portrayed, I should say. It's not the women who are weird, it's the portrayal.
Maybe it's a good thing they got Lois out of the way early then.
Yeah, probably so. The whole thing, so the magic machine, like, you know, it's winning, and then Superman runs away, I guess, or they think he runs away, and then he brings the magic acid from the beginning of the movie that was, like, didn't explode despite having been in a fire for a while, like a really clearly hot fire, and it just, like, immediately heats up far enough to do its thing and destroy the whole machine. And not just, like, it heats up, and it's just this one canister of it, right?
Yeah.
And it heats up and explodes, and it just, like, burns through the ground, the floor, which somehow destroys the entire machine upwards.
And the thing that gets me is, though, the scientist originally described that the concern was if it got hot, it would turn into a gas acid, which then makes sense how it destroyed everything above. But then wouldn't it also have, like, killed all the people in the room?
Probably.
Because they would have breathed it in, and it would have burned through their lungs. And I'll buy that it's a small enough container that eventually it gets diluted, that it's not, like, a threat to the whole planet. But I'm just like, I'm pretty sure everyone would be dead now. If it's strong enough to burn through that machine, and it's turned into a gas, which is the concern. Also, I just think the whole acid thing, there's, like, no understanding of how acids work in this movie. But I'm just going to accept that and let it be.
So this actually, I think, because I try to think about cartoons and other things that I watch that are kind of from this era, and acid was used, I feel like, a lot of the time the same way that, say, you know, radioactivity was. It was just like a blanket, like, acid just does this thing. Like, other than the fact that it burns things, people didn't really know anything about it, it feels like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about, like, the Joker, for instance. So, you know, we talked about that in the first movie. It's like, this doesn't really make sense as a way that acid would affect his face.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing happens. This entire time, people don't trust Superman anymore. He has the weird, like, bar scene and so on. But then, like, by the end, they just don't address any of that.
They instantly retrust him again.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to earn it back at all. I'll give that, at least with Supergirl in the show, they made her earn it back, right?
Right.
But Superman is just like, oh, he was bad, but now he's good again. Look, he made the Leaning Tower of Pisa lean again. So we're all good.
Yeah. So, there are lots of things we didn't talk about, like the weird relationship between Superman and Lana's son, and like...
Lana's son passes out in a field, and they need to get him checked out.
He somehow managed to find his way to the only rock in the field and get his head hit on it, right? Like, it was just this weird, like, you look at it and you see that he had hit his head on this rock in the field, and there's like not a single other rock anywhere around. And you're like, I don't understand how this happens. And then Superman catches the machine with his hands.
Instead of just picking him up.
Right. It was like, so you just destroyed a bunch of equipment for no reason. It's very, very, very weird.
Yeah, and it's almost like he was like lectured the guy and the kid. It was like a teenager in the machine, like, you should watch where you're going. And it's like, there shouldn't be a kid passed out.
And also, like, would he be able to see it? If he's using this machine to, like, you know, harvest wheat, the kid's beneath the wheat. Like, he's not going to be able to see him.
Yep.
Right? It's a weird... There's so many weird things in this movie. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we should just go straight into Superman 4 because...
I think we've talked enough about Superman 3.
Cool. So, Superman 4.
So they completely ignore Superman 3 in its entirety.
Yes, they do.
Lana is not there. Lois does not think Clark and Lana are engaged. They just ignore it all.
Which, you know, as a note, is also what happens after Superman 4, because Superman Returns completely pretends 3 and 4 didn't happen.
And which is for the better.
But. Yes, which is for the better, but we'll get there. I do appreciate that the opening was just this random Russian singing in space. That was fun. But then a space collision happens, and it, like, knocks the cosmonaut off of his station.
Why was he not attached to the station? He should have been tethered.
So, Mandy, can you tell me what the chances of that are happening if it's not caused by someone? Because, like, this is a completely separate satellite, it looks like, that's just going by. Like, and what are the chances of it hitting him and not striking the ship?
In 1987, the odds are even lower.
Because back then there was, like, not much up there. Right?
I mean, there's stuff up there in 87, and they were going to the same orbits a lot over and over again. But the odds of this whole thing are just very low. And regardless, he should have been tethered, because more likely human error will cause him to let go and float away.
Right. So,
and then
next,
he'd just be a couple of feet away the whole time and die.
So my next question is, how did Superman know about this so quickly?
Super hearing, and, you know, because sound transmits from space to Earth. That's totally a thing.
Yes. There are many moments with sound transfer in this movie. Yeah, there's that. Superman then speaks Russian through the vacuum of space, speaking of sound transfer through space. He just, like, speaks to them in Russian while they're sitting there with their helmets and stuff and just, like, kind of looking at him. And then he goes home to... Because his house is for sale, or, like, his old home is for sale, right?
Yes.
And then we get this weird monologue from his mom about a weird power module thing from his ship, and we don't know
not
why.
Not from Ma Clint. From Kryptonian Ma.
Yeah, Kryptonian Mom. And we're like, well, okay, so clearly this is just to give us a reason for this MacGuffin crystal to be here, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this is the last thing that remains, and you can use this power. It doesn't say how or why or in what way it will help or hurt or whatever. But it's like, but once this is gone, the wisdom of our people is gone from you.
And he, like, takes it out and the whole ship, like, melts away.
Yeah. So my headcanon for this pretty much right away was maybe it's he knows the property's for sale and he has to remove what's there. Because, you know, people are going to be coming to
visit it
and stuff.
That's what I assumed as well. But I still don't know why removing the thing would make the whole thing disappear.
Right, I don't either. I don't get that. Now, there was a thing because, you know, he was Superman, and then we see him as Clark, and he's being goofy, like, bumbling Clark when his, you know, family friend arrives. And I do have a line here in my nose, is like, you know, no matter how bad the movies get, he still does an amazing job of switching between Clark and Superman.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that. I mean, when he's not being evil Superman. And then we see Lex again, who wasn't in Superman 3 at all, and he's doing hard labor. And when Lex's nephew arrives with a car and the cops want to check out his sound system is so ridiculous.
The cops are so, once again, the whole thing revolves around people are stupid.
Yeah. They're like just complete bumbling oafs, right?
Yeah. Though another thought I had watching this is like, if this is Lex's nephew, does that make Lenny Lena's son?
I wonder. I'm assuming that this family is structured differently. We are not talking same universe. These are alternate super, like, alternate Earths.
I just had a moment of cognitive dissonance trying to imagine the Lena Luthor of Supergirl raising this questionable child.
This questionable youth. I mean, who dyes their hair anyways?
He's just not very smart, like, for being a Luthor. Like,
it's true. Then it's like, somehow they get away. Well, I guess Lex's nephew doesn't kill these cops, but like nearly does. And then Lex escapes. And then the rest of the movie, we never hear anything about him being on the loose or anybody chasing him down. He's just free. It's like
nobody tells Superman.
Yeah, it's like this is just a world in which if you're loose from prison, you're free. Like, you earned your freedom, I guess. Like, because he's like goes back to his old place, right?
Yeah.
He just goes back to his old place and has it. It's like he's literally in his own home. You can just get some cops to go up and grab him. Like, I don't get it. And then we see like Lois on a train that isn't stopping, like they're, you know, metro, and Superman stops it by putting his foot on the electric rail and then leaves without talking to Lois as if he's like upset with her or something. I don't know.
And there's also this whole plot in this movie that the newspaper gets purchased.
Yes.
And
yeah, yeah.
The whole discussions about this, watching it from now, I'm just like, journalistic integrity, what happened to that? Because they're basically, the Daily Planet is fighting against becoming clickbait.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even an argument, I think, that the articles are bad. It's just that the headlines are changed to these, like, fear-mongering, clickbaity headlines.
Right.
And I'm just like, welcome to our world, Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been a discussion for a long, long time. But yeah, it is interesting because, of course, we think that it feels fresh. But no, that was true then, too. There's the whole conversation because, of course, the daughter of the guy who bought the paper, she immediately is taken by Clark, you know, by his bumbling charm.
The whole sequence where she's positioning herself on her desk.
Yeah.
It just hurts me.
It's
like, why did she think it would be? First off, her office has windows.
They have two female characters in this movie, and every conversation is about Clark or Superman.
Yes.
As a man. Like as, you know, like, everyone. It is hard to fail the Bechdel test harder than this movie does.
Yeah, yeah. It's like this woman gets this whole newspaper, and her only concern is Clark Kent.
Yeah, and there's even a line where her dad is like, what did we say about getting involved with the help? Which is all kinds of other, you know, issues, but yeah, it's a very weird thing. I did enjoy the line where like Lois is trying to convince her that Clark probably wouldn't be attracted to her because he's just like super nice and stuff like that. And she's like, don't be silly. All men like me. I'm very rich. I'm very, very rich. Sorry, there were two varies in the quote.
Yeah. So the other confusing thing about this whole sequence with her, anytime this girl and Lois are talking about Clark, I just had this feeling of confusion of, does Lois know?
We find out that she does.
So
right?
It just makes it more confusing because, yes, she's trying to convince her away from Clark, but she's not trying to do it like Clark already has a girlfriend or, you know, she doesn't do it even in a jealous way. She's just like, oh, that's Clark's just not interested in girls. It just makes it confusing. Like,
I think I know what they were going for. And I think it comes across in that line in the conversation when Clark rewipes Lois's memory later, which
makes no sense.
In case you haven't watched this movie, Clark rewipes Lois's memory with another kiss. It's very weird.
I just can't forgive Clark Kent for that. I mean,
but this conversation, right, is like she basically at some point that memory wipe wore off, but she like remembered why he made the decision. And she even says like, I didn't want any, like in her later conversation, she's like, hey, like, yes, like basically I didn't need anything in return. Like just being with him briefly was enough for something like that kind of thing. So it's more of a, she doesn't want to be a nuisance, but she is looking out for him because she cares about him. Like that's I'm not saying it landed well at all. I think that's what they were going for. So in this, it's like, you know, the way to read this, if they had done it well, would be, hey, like she knows she doesn't have any kind of claim on Superman. slash Clark, but she also feels like she knows him well enough to be like, he's not really going to be into you, and I don't really feel like it's good for him for women to be, like, women without, like, a moral compass or something like that to throw themselves
at him. It just doesn't necessarily make sense, though, because the way that Lois fawns over Superman and the way she ignores Clark do not line up. Like, how is she so able to divorce that they're not the same person when they are the same person and she knows they are the same person?
That's a great point, actually.
Because Lois fawns over Superman.
And there's so many things about this that don't work.
Superman's in the room and Lois Lane loses her mind. Like, you know, it's just like, I mean, she doesn't entirely lose her mind, but she's very clearly, like, in love with him completely, you know? And it's just like, oh, that's just Clark.
Yeah.
That's literally the man you're in love with, and you literally know it's the man you're in love with. So either Lois Lane's a very good actress and very good at compartmentalizing, or this movie just is confused.
But a bunch of that was up front, right? So, like, when they're doing the dinner thing, she gets her mind wiped at the very beginning of it, right? Or is that later?
No, she gets her mind wiped at the end of the movie, I thought.
I don't remember, honestly. There are so many things I don't remember about, like, the order in which things happen. I don't know.
Well, none of it makes any sense. So, okay, yeah. So let's talk about nuclear missiles.
Yes, the whole thing about this movie is that peace accords fall through, you know, an arrangement isn't able to happen, and so, in quotes, the summit fails. So Americans decide, we're going to push ahead to lead the nuclear arms race. And of course, you know, that's a bad thing. People are scared, so on and so forth. And so then, like, the conversation that happens is that Superman is ostensibly supposed to remove everyone's nuclear weapons, which is like, okay, we can talk about morality of that.
Because a kid asks him.
Right.
To.
And plants the idea that nobody else thought of, apparently. And everybody else takes it seriously. And then the headline is Superman says, drop dead to kid.
Yes.
Which is like, what?
It's the clickbait headline.
Yeah, it's very, very, very weird.
And it's like Superman has this whole moral dilemma. Does he do it? Does he not? He's not supposed to interfere in Earth's, you know, decisions, but he also interferes all the freaking time, so.
And then the Kryptonians, he asks the Kryptonians at the fortress for advice, because he says, quote, I'm forbidden to interfere, which doesn't make any sense, like you said. And then they basically give him good advice by accident, because they're stupid. And they're like, if you teach the Earth to put its fate in any one man, even yourself, you're teaching them to be betrayed, which is true. But then, like, the previous person also just said that he can run away when they blow themselves up, because they probably will. It's like, I feel like there's a way to say, like, hey, they should basically be in charge of their destiny, but you can help out every once in a while, right?
Right. I feel like there's a difference between Superman going out and catching a nuclear bomb and taking away all the nuclear bombs. And I'm like, right. Taking away the nuclear bombs doesn't take away the nuclear bomb technology.
Right.
So, as Lex Luthor demonstrates, they can make more.
Right.
There's good uses for nuclear technology as well. So, and I just feel like this whole message came out at a weird time, because this movie came out in 1987, and I guess they couldn't know the Soviet Union was imminently falling, but pretty sure the Berlin Wall went down in like 89. So
I don't know. It's a very weird, I wouldn't put too much thought into how this ended up the way it did. Because again, like, I think both this and Superman 3 and 4, they basically are just a weird Rube Goldberg of a mess to make some money. And they did make money. They both made more money in the box office than their budget. So good for them, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird plot, because I'm also a little bit concerned about just throwing all the nuclear bombs in the sun. Because while I'm fairly confident that wouldn't hurt the sun, that's a lot of nuclear bombs.
At the same time, too. Like,
yes.
Maybe, like, you know, hey, you're Superman. You've got physical ability. Maybe, like, make it a single file line, you know,
right.
Like spaced out by, like, you know, a couple of minutes. So,
or could you have asked a scientist before you made the decision to throw them in the sun? You know, could you double check with someone that this is going to be okay for the sun? Because once again, pretty sure not going to hurt the sun.
Or just have Superman say, hey, I've done the research, you know?
Actually, the thing that would hurt the sun is the heavy metals in the nuclear bombs, right? Like, nuclear bombs are made, not just heavy metals, but heavy particles. Like, as the sun gets more and more heavy particles, like, that's when it's going to collapse, right? Like, I mean, I'm not a sun expert, but I'm pretty sure I paid attention in that class.
But I wonder if this would be statistically significant, like, you know, mass comparison.
How many nuclear bombs is it? I don't know.
I don't know, yeah. Are there, like, thousands of them? Millions?
And how does Superman know if the countries gave up their nuclear bombs? Like, is he just so that's a question. Around scanning the Earth?
We're not actually told. Like, are they firing these weapons at each other and he's catching them, or are they firing up there so he can grab them?
I assumed they were firing them up there so he could grab them.
I did too. In which case, it's like, why wouldn't they just put them not fired on a thing so he could pick them up and fly? Like, I don't...
What if Superman misses one?
Right.
What if three countries shoot theirs off at the same time to completely different places in space? Like, did they organize this with Superman?
I mean, because they could theoretically have loaded a bunch of them into, like, you know, shipping containers. And he could take the shipping containers.
So many questions.
And then they're not active, because when you fire them, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. So, yeah, I don't know. The really funny thing is, like, he goes in. I actually really enjoyed the scene where he goes in to talk to, like, the UN. And he's like, so, I don't represent a nation. I would need a sponsor. And everybody volunteers. Like, I thought that was kind of funny. Because, you know, who wouldn't want to say, like, yes,
bad guys.
Well, yes. But if this is a country where they're saying the nations themselves aren't bad, because that's clearly the tag that this is taking, then everybody's like, yeah, sure, go for it. No. I'm not talking about the cheering for his announcement, but like offering to sponsor his communicate, like
right,
talking to the UN. Yeah. But then, yeah, he says what he's going to do and they all cheer. And that's like, no, they would take this as an affront to their independence.
Yeah, agreed. Right?
Like, that is absolutely what would happen, is every single nation would be like, no, you're not allowed to do that.
I also think every single nation would view Superman as America. So it would be America coming in telling everyone to de-arm.
Right.
Whether Superman is America or not, he is an American citizen who very clearly wears American colors and talks about truth, justice, and the American way. So,
and very clearly speaks with an American accent. That's, you know, I mean, maybe you could argue Canadian, but...
I think there would be a lot of countries who would say, this is just America using Superman as a political pawn.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie is not that subtle, so it can't do that. So instead, everyone gives up their nuclear weapons, and then Lex Luthor gets involved with some weapons dealers, bad guys, who are like, this is bad for us. Everyone got rid of their nuclear weapons, and now they're not buying new ones.
Yep.
We like death and destruction. Like, they're so over-the-top bad guys.
Yes.
And then instead of, I don't know, just making new nuclear weapons and selling them to, like, criminals, they decide, what if we make a Superman clone? What?
Yes. Yeah, with the with a single string of hair that was holding up 1,000 pounds, which is fine, you know, like, whatever. That's a, like, a funny little, like, that doesn't offend me in any way. But they, like, they take it and they start to make a clone because Lex Luthor is a genetic, you know, he's like a genius geneticist now, somehow.
Somehow.
Yeah, like, that whole thing happens. They send it into the sun because somehow just, like, sending this weird piece of biomass into the sun will turn it into a fully grown person.
The thing I really didn't understand is, how did it not make him just into a Kryptonian?
Yeah. It's like, basically all he got is that, hey, he gets some kinds of powers, but it's like randomized. It's a very weird thing.
He's stronger than Superman, but his weakness is more severe than Superman.
Yeah, and I guess the whole thing is that basically they just didn't want to use another Kryptonian because they've already done that in the previous movies, right?
Yeah, but it would be like Superman's son, right? Like,
yeah.
So there could have been like a dilemma, right? Do I try to save him and like re-teach him?
Right. So the interesting thing that you do with this is like, hey, it's Superboy, except that he's under Lex Luthor's control. Nobody knows he's under Lex Luthor's control. You start to go like, hey, Superman infringed on your sovereignty. We have another superhero who won't do that. And you paint super, you know, like, you can follow that plot line, and that makes a whole lot more sense. Because, and then you just, like, on the sly, Superboy is doing whatever you want him to.
Right.
Right? But that's not what they did, because they're not that subtle, like you said. There's a weird thing where during the dinner party, Lex Luthor goes, like, starts singing Hello, Dolly, and then says, like, look to your left. It's like, how does he know where Superman's left is? I don't know. And then he has to look at the big, you know, TV screen.
Yeah.
And he's like, to tell him, he's like, this building's going to blow up and however long. And so Superman leaves the party, but Clark doesn't. Or, like, Clark never said he was leaving the party. I don't know. It's a very weird situation.
I don't know how that whole scene, they didn't realize Clark and Superman were the same person. You have to be idiots.
I mean, they are idiots because that's how this movie painted them, right? So.
Yeah. And then just this whole idea that Nuclear Man, like, he can give Superman sickness with his nails.
Right. I think the idea was that he would be able to I don't know, because it said something related to his son, and he's Nuclear Man, so he's, like, nuclear poisoning.
Yeah, but do they
know.
Understand that the sun is not the same as, like, nuclear...
Uranium?
Yeah. Like, the sun is not poisoning us. I mean, that
it
I
is.
Know of in a...
Well, it is, right? Skin cancer.
Well, yes, but it's not in a, like... It's not like you stood too close to uranium.
Right, it's not the same kind of thing. Whatever... We've said this so many times, but alien physiology just doesn't make any sense.
Superman's
physiology.
Superman gets his powers from the sun. So if Superman got scratched by someone who had the same radiation as the sun, wouldn't he just be fine?
Probably. I feel like he would... It'd basically be like us getting scratched by a person with nails.
Yes.
Anyways, they turn into this really weird fight where the Nuclear Man just like causes chaos and then Superman fixes it. Right?
Yeah.
Their in-flight punches are terrible. Like, the special effects are horrible for them when they're punching each other.
I also really hate Nuclear Man's whole look. Like, I can't
even. Oh, yeah. It's so terrible. But the idea that, like, immediately when he's out of direct sunlight, like, as soon as there's no sunlight directly hitting him, he's just weak again.
Right. It's not even like he's in darkness. He's in shadow.
Shadow. Yeah.
Like, why doesn't Superman just get an umbrella?
I know. And then it's inconsistent again. We'll get to the end of the fight, and it's super inconsistent there. So he attacks the Great Wall and, like, tears it up, and then Superman uses his brand new magical repair I-beams.
Yes. I like, as soon as that happened, I was like, add to the count of powers I didn't know Superman had.
Right.
I-beam repairs.
And then Nuclear Man freezes Superman in space and then goes into a volcano to, like, make it erupt. And then Superman cuts through an entire mountain with his I-beams. And it's just like a clean cut so that he can plug the volcano by putting the mountain with its snowy top upside down in the volcano.
I'm also pretty sure volcanoes don't work that way. Isn't this Mount St. Helens? Like, the top of the volcano was plugged on Mount St. Helens because it was a mountain.
No, they speak Italian to him in it.
So it would... So like, no, I mean, it's not Mount St. Helens, but I mean... So you cannot stopper a volcano, is what I'm saying, right? Mount St. Helens had no release for the pressure building up, so the whole thing just exploded. That's why it was so right. dangerous, right? It wasn't just a volcano going off. It was a literal mountain that exploded, right? It should the super volcano under whichever national park it is go off, it's not going to be stopped by the fact that there is a layer of earth on top of it.
Right.
Right? Like, you cannot...
Right. The magma can melt the earth. Like, this is not a...
You cannot just plug a volcano. The volcano pressure will still build up and explode.
So, yeah. That all happens. Then Nuclear Man lifts the Statue of Liberty and throws it into the middle of the city, and Superman gets it and then gets scratched and then kicked really hard, and his cape flutters down and people think he's dead. Right. And then the newspaper owner gives his daughter the Daily Planet. Lois leaves in a huff because they have his cape, because that makes sense. I don't know. Lois goes to Clark's place where he's sick and then cries about Superman. It kind of feels like Lois has figured things out again because her memory has been wiped by this point because of the way. But I don't know. And then the bad guys and Lex, like, they're talking and the other bad guys decide, hey, Lex, you've done great. We're going to increase your commission. No. Like, why would they say that? That wouldn't happen, right? It's like, hey, you've done a great job. We're going to give you an even higher commission. You don't remember that?
No.
it was really stupid. And then Lex, of course, fires them and scares them off because Nuclear Man is there to threaten them. And then Superman, like, warps. Like, we're just... There's no... It's like a really jarring scene change. And then we see him in the barn again, but with his, like, grabbing the MacGuffin crystal. And I don't know why he's there. It feels like it's in the barn and not in his house, but he, like, looks like he's dying. Like, he looks like a zombie.
He looks old. It looks like it's aged him. And that's another thing, yeah. I didn't understand. It doesn't look like he's just sick anymore. It looks like whatever this radiation poison in has accelerated his aging.
Right. Right, right. And so he decides to grab that because, and we don't even know what the cost is. It's like, sounds like it's something related to, okay, the Fortress of Solitude doesn't work anymore or something, but, like, who cares? Because those people are stupid and give you bad advice. And then there's the weird thing where the Nuclear Man, like, sees the publisher girl on the TV and falls for her immediately.
And so he wants her? Yes.
And it's like, but she's just a random woman on TV, right? Like, there are plenty of them on TV.
He's
and
also,
then
like, a completely blank human being. Like, why would he have, like, this... I don't know. I was like, why does he have this sexual urge all of a sudden?
Right. And then when he and Superman confront each other, he just goes, "Where's the woman?" How does Superman know who he's talking about? Like, there's no reason for Superman to have even the vaguest idea who he's talking about when he says it. It's just like, "Where's the woman?" There's no prelude to it at all. Then the guy, like, decides, he's like, you know, "Give me or else," and he starts to attack people, and he uses his weird levitation eye powers to, like, throw people in the air, and then Superman apparently has opposing levitation super eye powers.
Yeah.
And drops them. I don't know. Somehow Superman finds out about his weakness and, like, traps him in an elevator and then takes him to the moon but doesn't bury him.
Why didn't he just take him into a basement?
Yeah, that too.
That is a better option than taking him to the moon.
Yeah, like, take him to a basement or take him to a construction site and put him under some cement. You know, like, I don't know. Then, like, he does that, and because the moon becomes the light side of the, like, you know, the sun crests it, like, the tiny sliver of light that comes in there is enough to give him superpowers so he can break out of it again.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Like, this is very inconsistent with what we've seen before. Mm-hmm. Because there's at least that much sunlight bouncing off of the area around him. Yeah, in Lex's apartment. Or whatever. So, I don't know. Superman at one point in the moon fight gets buried, like, feet first in the moon surface, which doesn't really make sense.
The thing that doesn't make the most sense is the whole kidnapping Lacey and taking her to space.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense because, you know, she would have died of many things at that point.
She would have died of space. Like, yes. But instead, she, like, lives in space.
She lives in space. And then Superman, like, fixes things by causing an eclipse. It's like, do you know how many things he would have messed up by causing a lunar eclipse that quickly?
Yep.
By, like,
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do. I don't, but I have an idea that it is a great many things. Like, the Earth would be in chaos from that. Yep. So, it's very, very, it is hysterically bad. And then after Superman gets him, he takes him into a nuclear power plant.
Yes.
But, like, I don't understand. Like, so he throws him into that. Does that, like, disintegrate him and just start powering the grid?
I don't know why it would. I don't know why it wouldn't just up his powers, because his powers are theoretically nuclear.
Yeah, or, like, just do nothing, because it'd be like throwing, I don't know, Aquaman in the water,
yeah,
I guess.
That's what I'm kind of getting at. It's like throwing Aquaman in the water. You're right. Like, don't throw me in the briar patch. Whatever.
Right, exactly. There you go.
I feel like the best option is to just put him in a prison underneath the Earth. And it also just kind of makes it seem like Superman just straight up killed this guy, who, you know, is like 3 days old. So can he even be held responsible for his actions?
Which is very different from Gus.
Yes.
This is an actual child who really doesn't have, I don't know. Yeah, it is very, very weird. So then whatever, like, Superman, this is all done. Superman gives a speech on peace. Something about, "I'm finally one of you," instead of a visitor. Is like, wait, you haven't been an Earth person this entire time? Like, this is ridiculous. It's like, you were raised in Kansas, or, you know, in Smallville. You didn't know about your Kryptonian heritage for a long time. Come on. Yeah. And then he delivers Nephew Luther to a boy's home, and I'm pretty sure he does not have the authority to do that. And then he drops Luther back off at the quarry. Which is just like, there are so many other things that would happen here. I don't understand. And then Lex is like, "Just one last question, Superman. How did you figure out his weakness?" And he's like, "High school physics." It's like, what you just said doesn't make any sense at all. He's like, something about, "I figured out that the sun was his power source, so I just needed to something, something, something." He's like, it makes no sense. Nothing makes sense anymore. That is a true statement.
Now we understand why they stopped making Superman movies.
So I have a question for you, Mandy. At some point, we're going to record on Superman Returns, which is vastly better than these. And we'll probably watch the Richard Donner cut of Superman 2 in that. Do we want to watch the Supergirl movie that came out, I think, between 3 and 4 or 2 and 3?
How much pain do we want to put ourselves under?
I feel like maybe we could bundle all three of them together because, like, I don't know. We'll see. Podcast fans, we'll have to figure this out later and you will find out.
It's questionable.
Questionable at best. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I am looking forward to Superman Returns because it is not nearly as bad as these movies. This was a ride. Let's say. Goodness.
You know, that said, you know, if you needed to show a superhero movie to your 3-year-old, Superman.
These are pretty safe.
Three is and four are pretty safe. So
they are basically nonsensical Saturday morning cartoons.
Yes. Yeah, they're bad, guys. I got nothing. I won't say they weren't enjoyable to watch because I had no idea what was going on. So it was kind of like trying to figure out a puzzle, but with no reward.
With a puzzle where it doesn't all come together in the end. Yeah. It turns out you have a piece of like six different puzzles, and you're staring at all of them and you're like, you know, maybe one of these could have been a decent puzzle if we got the other 5/6 of it.
There's just so many things dropped across these two movies and things that don't make sense with the first two. And just like Superman 3 just doesn't fit at all. It comes out of nowhere. Like, why is this even here? So, yeah. And because I had no idea what these movies were about, I just spent the whole time being like, what is the plot of this movie for most of them? Just being like, what are we getting at? What is the final goal? Because I had no idea Nuclear Man was coming in this movie, right? So I'm like, okay, so we got rid of the nuclear bombs, but Lex Luthor still wants to sell nuclear bombs. Now he's cloning Superman. What's happening? But it wasn't like, once again, these are not actually puzzle movies.
Right. There is nothing to figure out. They don't make sense. So just know that what these movies do make me thankful for is that, well, I was going to say we still haven't gotten really good Superman movies. They make me, I don't know. I guess it just wanting Superman movies to be disregarded and for them to do something new and good has been a long running thing. It's not new.
Mm-hmm. So Superman is a hard character for people to get right. I mean, we've talked about this before, right?
Right.
He's like Captain America because he is not a character that should be
morally compromised.
Right. He can be conflicted, right?
Right.
Like if this was a movie about Superboy,
right,
he could be morally conflicted over what to do, right? Because Superboy, like, he should be morally conflicted about what to do with Nuclear Man, right? He shouldn't want to just kill him at the end. He should say, this guy's like 3 days old. Or I know nothing about this guy. Superman has no idea where Nuclear Man came from, right? So there should be some question of, like, who is this guy? Where did Lex get him from? And then discover he's 3 days old. Oh, is he even responsible for his actions? Let's put him underground in a dark place, and maybe we'll find out that in the dark he just has, like, minimal human capability, even though it makes it seem like he's a robot with his batteries taken out in the dark. But, you know, there could have been moral issues for Superman to work through, right? On the level of, like, Captain America trying to work through the issues of what do you do when your best friend is the Winter Soldier, right? But they don't even try. They don't.
So I'm going to go ahead and throw out that what this makes me, just hearing you talk about that, it just makes me really, really want to go back and rewatch the Superman animated series and the All-Star Superman animated film, because they are great Superman in action. So, and that All-Star Superman thing is like really short. It's like, I don't know, an hour and 10 minutes or something, maybe an hour and a half tops. So fun times. Non-podcast related, I do recommend that to you, Mandy, and I recommend it to anybody listening if you want to see what a well-done Superman can be like. Because it's nice and short, and it's like no commitment at all, and there's no continuity to worry about. Like, you start from the origin, and you go through a nice, tied-off story. One day, we will get a good live-action Superman. Like, a truly good, like, where they get the character right. But that is not soon. All right. Well, on that note, everyone, you can follow Mandy on Twitter at @brown_Aja. That's AJAH. You can follow me on Twitter at Auhim. That's AUHIM. You can follow the show at Triv Crucial. And I guess, yeah, just stay tuned until next time. Keep reading and watching and listening to nerdy things.